Hello, welcome back to the 2017 Plaintree International Conference on Patient-Centered Care. This is the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo. I have with me today Laura Blackwell, guest service coordinator and Plaintree coordinator for Levine Cancer Institute.
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I'm great, Laura. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming here.
Absolutely. I'm happy to share my story.
Well, I was just going to ask you that. So as we get into this, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So like you said, I am the Plaintree coordinator and guest services coordinator for the Levine Cancer Institute. We have many different locations, and my primary location is in the Concord area of North Carolina. So in 2008, after giving birth to my second son, I was diagnosed 2 months later with triple negative breast cancer, stage one, and decided to have a double mastectomy. With the triple negative breast cancer, had to go through about 6 months of chemotherapy, which is standard protocol. Lost all of my hair, having a double mastectomy, had to wean my two-month-old off of breastfeeding. Also had a three-year-old at the time, so as you can imagine, being a new mother of a second child and then also having to deal with a three-year-old running all over the world, we had some major issues that we had to deal with that. Being 30 years old, having a diagnosis like breast cancer, not thinking that that would be something that would be in my world at that time, was devastating. And thankfully, I have a very strong faith and knew that God was going to lead me through this journey. And with my family and friends, knew that whatever his plan was going to end up being something for my good. So going through chemotherapy, I always brought treats and gave presents to the chemotherapy patients that were back there. I would walk down the aisles with my IV pole, just trying to make them feel better because I didn't know what else to do. I was the youngest person back there at that time, 9 years ago. I see younger and younger patients now. However, that's not a good thing either. But most of the patients that we had back then were probably in their 50s, 60s, 70s. But I felt like I needed to try and do something to uplift them and uplift myself while we were back there for 5-6 hours at a time. I used to refer to my Monday chemotherapy treatment as my spa day because the volunteers would come back there and wait on me hand and foot. And when you've got two kids at home, it's nice to have somebody wait on you. So I kind of used that opportunity to just be in the moment and pray and try to figure out what it was that God was trying to lead me to do. I say that because I knew that he was leading me to come and work in the cancer center. I just didn't know how long it was going to take for me to get there. I had never worked in the medical field before. So getting into the medical field, never having worked in the medical field, can be difficult. It's hard to get your foot in the door, especially if you're not a nurse or a doctor. Thankfully, I had an amazing physician who knew what my passion was, and 2 years later was able to finally get an interview for a position as the registrar at the front, which I thought would be perfect for me because you smile at the patients when they come in and check them in for their appointments. I couldn't imagine a better start to my medical career. So once I started working there, I realized how quickly some of the ideas that I had about patient care were a little different than the current ideas of patient care. I can remember very early on into my employment, one of the managers telling me that I should not be hugging the patients out in the waiting area. And I sat in her office and cried, and I said, I don't know what else to do because I love these people. I have a passion for these people. If I can't hug them, I'm not really sure if I can stay here. I don't know if that's going to be the right move for me. Why did God put me here if he's not going to let me be myself? Or if I can't pray with a patient who needs to have prayer, how am I going to be able to do that? Thankfully, just about 2 years later was when we kind of started the conversation of merging with Living Cancer Institute, and it was going to be a network of all Living Cancer Institute rather than just different cancer locations within the Carolinas healthcare system. Through that, they decided that we needed to do something in order to kind of consolidate the culture, and that was partnering with Plaintree. So once I was able to learn more about what Plaintree was about, it gave me permission to be able to do the prayers and do hugging patients in the lobby and being that patient advocate and being the patient voice for the folks that were sitting outside in the waiting area waiting for their doctor. I would be the one who would go back to the doctor and say, you know, your patient's been sitting out here for 45 minutes. I was cautioned many times not to say anything to the physicians, but I can't do that. So anybody here that knows me knows that I'm going to speak up for the patients, and that is the reason why I do what I do. And Plaintree gives us permission to do that. And I just can't imagine what our Cancer Institute would be like had we not partnered with Plaintree. So for me, it allows me to live out my passion for patients and also help facilitate changing that culture within our network of 25 plus locations, which we are going to be talking about here shortly as well, because we have another talk that's coming up here about how we were able to get this Plaintree certification as an outpatient oncology facility.
That's great. I mean, there's so many different layers to this story that I want to explore. You know, first of all, you know, thank you for sharing your story. It's very courageous, and you just tell it in such a beautiful way. If there's any young mothers out there that are maybe facing a similar challenge or similar diagnosis, do you have any thoughts or words of wisdom that you could share with them?
Sure. So yes, being a young mom and having to go through any kind of cancer diagnosis, breast can be, as a woman, I can understand the struggles that women go through. You kind of go into a fight or flight mode when you're diagnosed. So there may be some women who are not sure if they want to go the same path that I did with a double mastectomy. I am glad that I get to share that story because I have had two patients that I know of specifically that were going to only have lumpectomies and had a double mastectomy, and they found cancer in the other breast that the MRI did not pick up. So I do know that they're, like I said, God put me there for a reason, and these women are still in my life now because of that. And I think that one of the things that I was very proud of with my children, because nobody tells you how to parent ever, first of all. There is no right or wrong. You just don't know what to do. There's not a book on that. Well, there's books, but, you know, everybody's got opinions on that. So one of the things that I decided to do was have my three-year-old shave my head because I wanted him to have not the image of his mom being bald, but the image and the fun that comes along with being able to have the clippers that I would use on his head all of the time, and he could shave my head into a mohawk, and he could shave my head into a mullet, and he could do all of these things, and we could take all of these pictures and look back on those things now and laugh about them and just have them be just part of the journey, a memory, something funny that we did together, and it wasn't super scary. But I will tell you that even at 3 years old, he did know that this was something that was not normal and that mommy was sick. Even if I wasn't sick in front of him, he knew that this was, mommy was different than the rest of the other mommies at preschool. But I think that showing your children, letting them be involved in it rather than kind of shying them away from everything, it makes them feel more comfortable. I'm grateful that my 9-year-old now, he doesn't remember any of it other than the cute pictures that we have of both being bald-headed at the same time. Young mothers, I encourage them to take lots of photos, even though it doesn't seem like they would want to do that right now. They will look back on those pictures and they'll probably be some of the best pictures that they've ever had with themselves and their family. So, you know, reach out to people in the community if you need help, because there are avenues out there. There are people out there who want to help you. They just don't know how. So don't bottle all of that in and feel like you have to be strong all of the time, because you don't. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be angry. I tell women all of the time when they come in, I help fit them for wigs at the cancer center. And I tell them all of the time that it is okay to not feel good all of the time. You can give yourself permission to grieve the loss of your breast, give yourself permission to grieve the loss of your hair. It's important. It's part of what you need to do to heal.
We're talking to Laura Blackwell, guest services coordinator and Plane Tree coordinator at Levine Cancer Institute. How has the Plane Tree experience changed how you are as a patient advocate?
Like I said, I think Plane Tree has given me permission to do all of the things that I know are what is the right way to treat a patient. Not to say that we were doing it wrong to begin with, but I also facilitate the Patient Family Advisory Council at our Levine Cancer Institute network. So we have representatives on that council from all over the network. I think that Plane Tree, they get it. You guys get it. So it helps me be able to share it with the rest of the network and help teach them how to get it too. Patients just want to be treated. You need to treat a patient like you would want to be treated. And every time I have a patient that comes in, I think, what would I expect when I come in here? If the doctor's running late, just let me know. I mean, there's plenty of times that I have had to wait for a doctor, and I will wait for a doctor as long as I know what's going on. Just simple little things like, hey, is there anything I can get you? Are you feeling okay today? Can I do anything to make that better? Giving the patients a voice, which is what we do with our PFAC committee. We give them a voice throughout the network. They have so many opportunities to have that voice in so many different avenues. Things that people would never even think about, really, that would be possible, like hiring. To think having a patient as part of the hiring process of new nurses and new physicians, I mean, that is crazy in some senses, because a lot of healthcare people would not think that that would be something that would be a good idea. But patients have a lot to offer, and really, they're our consumer, so it's our job to make sure that we are doing right by the consumer. So we need to make sure that we are hiring the people that the consumers want to have around them and have part of their care.
So one thing I wanted to close the loop on is, are you cancer-free today?
Yes, I have been cancer-free since the date of my surgery. So the double mastectomy took care of all of the cancer. With the triple negative breast cancer, chemotherapy was just another line of defense to make sure that it didn't come back. I know for a fact that it's not coming back because I know that I'm on the path that I'm supposed to be on. So, yes, I am cancer-free. I will be remaining cancer-free, and I will live a long and healthy and happy life.
And as we get close to the end here, do you have any closing thoughts for maybe some women at home or some people listening here in the audience?
Just make sure that you're an advocate for yourself. Being 30, the doctors didn't think that I had breast cancer. They thought that it was a clogged milk duct because I was pregnant. So make sure you listen to your patients. Make sure you're an advocate for yourself. It's okay to tell the doctors that you have a different vision and you may disagree with them. I think we are at an age now technologically where we do a lot of our own research, so we are a much more educated group of consumers and patients now than we used to be. I love our physicians, though. I don't want that to come off like I don't, because they are very, very smart. And thankfully, because of Plaintree, we have physicians now that are very engaged with their patients, and they want to know what the patients want. So I'm very grateful that we have reached an age where we can work together and collaborate with the physicians so that we can all feel comfortable about what we're doing with our bodies.
Well, she's Laura Blackwell, guest service coordinator, Plaintree coordinator at Levine Cancer Institute. Laura, you're such a courageous, inspirational woman. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us here today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And we appreciate you. This has been the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo. We look forward to bringing you another inspirational story soon.